titled the book Twilight for Grown-Ups, while others have gone so far as to call it mommy porn. But either way, this very erotic novel is one of the most popular reads of the summer of 2012. Still, if steamy romance is not your thing, fear not, there are tons of new releases out just in time for the solstice, with which you can while away your vacation or downtime. If science is your thing, then E.O. Wilson's new book, The Social Conquest of Earth, will have you contemplating human evolution. If you want something lighter, local author Rebecca Rule has a new offering with a tongue-in-cheek look at New Hampshire's institution, the town meeting. There's new fiction by John Irving, Anna Quinlan, and Toni Morrison, as well as biographies on James Joyce, Walter Cronkite, and Barack Obama. Today in The Exchange, we look at the biggest reads of summer 2012, and we want to hear from you. What new books are you gushing about or have heard about? Or do you need some advice? Our guest today will help you find that perfect summer read. Our number here in The Exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. And by the way, our guests' favorite picks for summer are up on our website, nhpr.org. They're also on our Facebook page, so you can check them out there. Dan Chartrand is here. He's owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. And Dan, welcome back. Really nice to see you.
Laura, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Also with us, Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. And Michael, a big welcome back to you, too. Thank you.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having us.
Well, gentlemen, there's an impression that summer reading is supposed to be fun, light, escapist. What do you think, Dan, though? I mean, how accurate is that, really? Does every single customer coming into Water Street say, give me something escapist, please?
Well, the great thing about an independent bookstore, Laura, is that you can walk in and pretty much ask us to do whatever you want to do. You know, if you want to read 50 Shades of Grey, we got it. We'll put it in a bag or we can keep it out of the bag, whatever you want. If you want to be really serious, we've got some great new serious books as well as some great old ones. And if you want to read light, we can go that way too. We're very versatile. We find the quirky stuff in all those areas, though, so that's kind of our gig.
Yeah, Michael, what do you think?
Yeah, summer's just a time of possibilities. You know, you're sort of free from some restrictions, so you can get out there and do your thing. You know, whether it's reading something long and serious and involved or whether it's escapism, you can do whatever you want. There's that sense of freedom, and it's great.
Right, it is sort of the one time a year where I really do have time to read some of those books that you guys are always talking about. You know, Michael, just give us your top two classic summer escapist books from your list. And we'll talk about all the other serious stuff later, too. But.
Sure. Well, the book that I've enjoyed a lot recently is Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn. It's sort of a murder mystery, but part of the mystery is, was there even a murder? It's about a very dysfunctional couple, two increasingly unreliable narrators, Nick and Amy Dunn. She's disappeared. And it becomes one of those cases that you end up seeing on Fox News. Did he kill her? Did he not? And the story's told in diary entries from her going back from the time that she met him and contemporary accounts from him. And as the story advances, you just think, these people are just so nutty. I want to kill them myself.
But you like it? Because sometimes when you have a character that you don't relate to, you don't want to read the book.
Well, the thing about this book is that it really pushes all the buttons about marriage. It's a great book about marriage. It even if you don't identify, with the characters if you're lucky, for sure. But you know, it's a psychological mystery, and it's really a very gripping read.
Yeah, Dan.
Our favorite sort of escapist novel that's just been published is a book called The Watchers by John Steele. Our bookseller Jean-Paul has read this, and he's describing it as, so it's set in an ancient cathedral, Lausanne, Switzerland, and it's the playground between the eternal fight between good and evil. And you've got a crippled, simple-minded belfry watcher, an amnesiac detective, an American high society call girl. They're all unknowing and unwilling players in this captivating, thrilling story. It's one of those books that you can't stop reading. So if you want to escape, we're recommending The Watchers by John Steele.
An amnesiac detective?
That's what Jean-Paul's saying, yes.
Hey, you know, at least he doesn't come into the case with too many assumptions. Right?
That's right.
Well, and we've got your list, as I said, on our website, nhpr.org. And every year we like to compare your lists. And guys, this year you only have three in common. So let's talk about some of those. And one of them sounds, well, it has a dreadful title. It's called Bring Up the Bodies by Hilary Mantel. Michael, what is this about?
Hilary Mantel.
Excuse me, Mantel.
Yeah, she wrote the book Wolf Hall, which is also new in paperback, which we're also recommending. And it's part of a projected trilogy of books about Henry VIII and Thomas Cromwell, England in the 1530s and 40s. when England was, you know, making the transition from just being a small, insignificant island to being a great empire. And this is how it happened. These are the events that gave rise to Shakespeare and Milton and empire. And it's a wonderful book. The thing about Wolf Hall is that that's the first one. It immerses you in the 1530s. You believe it's a contemporary novel. You say, oh, well, you know, of course they burned that guy. It was heresy, you know. And then you say, wait a minute.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just full of period detail. It's just a marvelous read, very witty, very involved and engaging. And Bring Up the Bodies is the second one in the series that's just come out.
Well, and the New York Times said, Dan, it makes the worn-out story of Henry and all his wives seem fascinating again.
Yeah, our bookseller Eva Skews has read this, and she's passionate about this book. She just graduated from UNH and with her European history degree, and she can't talk about this book enough. Hilary Mantel has had a long, glorious career as a fiction writer. She was read by, you know, a very thin sliver of readers, right. And now with these historical novels, which aren't really historical novels because she's bringing all of her literary craft to these historical novels, she's found a whole new audience, partly because of the Man Booker Prize for Wolf Hall, but she's bringing it again with Bring Up the Bodies. So,
one great thing about this is, you know, it sort of acts as a counterweight to the saintly depiction of Thomas More in Man for All Seasons and all of that, when Cromwell, in most accounts, is viewed as the villain. Here he's the hero.
Wow.
And
yeah.
It's just an interesting take on history, very engaging.
Well, at least the protagonist.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
Our phone number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. And today in The Exchange, it's our annual summer book show. We're looking at some of the best reads to take with you to the beach or just lounging by the pool or in your backyard for summer 2012. Join us, 1-800-892-6477. Are you looking for a book to take on vacation? Tell us your interests. Our panel of booksellers may be able to recommend an author or two suited for you. Have you read something new that you want to share with our listeners or want to know more about a new book that's getting a lot of attention these days? Our number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. So, gentlemen, I have to ask you a little bit more about 50 Shades of Grey, which is turning out to be the book that's flying off the shelves this summer and flying onto people's e-readers, Michael. I think some people don't want to know that they're buying it. What are your customers saying about it, if they even dare admit that they've read it?
Well, they're not really saying anything about it. They're just buying it in droves. You know, it's just flying out of the store. And to us, you know, that's a great thing. People are reading. People are excited about reading. It almost doesn't matter why. Here, it's like society has given people permission to read erotica. You know, that's what it's about.
And it didn't start out like a regular book where an author sits down and starts, you know, writing out on a pad of paper or whatever. It started out as something called fan fiction about Twilight, the vampire series.
I mean, you know, this is New Hampshire, so speculating on people's personal motivations in their private lives, I'm going to steer clear of that.
We don't do that here.
That's right. At least not in public.
But this book had interesting beginnings.
That's what's fascinating about this book to
beginnings.
Me. The fascinating thing about this book is the way in which intellectual property is being created in an entirely new way because of social media, because of, you know, the connections that the web brings to the publishing intellectual property industry. So the fact that this started as fan fiction in a forum that was connected to the Twilight series, and then it morphed into this kind of, that's how it found its initial audience. And then a publisher picked up on the self-published nature, you know, the self-published book that was kind of selling at a pretty steady clip in a small number of stores. I didn't have it in the self-published version.
No.
And then Random House picks it up and puts it in their vintage imprint, and it just blows up huge. That's what's fascinating about this to me, is the way in which the lineage of the book, the way it came about.
Do you want to add on something to that?
Well, I would just say, just in general, you know, every independent bookstore that's worth its salt tries to include, you know, self-published books, because it's the kind of thing that can make your store look different from all the other stores. It's a no-brainer, really. You want to have content. You want to have books to sell that people won't find everywhere else. That said, there's you know, quality control issues with self-publishing. You just, you know, there aren't any gatekeepers, which is a good thing and a bad thing. The bad thing about it is nobody's judging quality before it hits the shelves. So one thing that local stores try to do, I think, mostly with self-published fiction is to include local authors. you know, for a sense of community, because that's what we're all about.
Well, and let's talk about that, because both of you have local authors on your list. And Dan, I want to ask you about one that's a local author in Maine, or the story takes place in Maine. It's called The Good Braider, a novel by Terry Farish about a Sudanese refugee in Maine. That's on your list.
So Terry Farish is a longtime stalwart of the Portsmouth literary scene. And the Seacoast literary scene.
We love her too, man, here in Concord.
There you go. And so she's written this book, it's in verse, and it tells sort of a story of a young woman who's come to a town in New England, northern New England, sort of like Portland, sort of like Manchester, maybe. Both of those cities have significant refugee resettlement communities from the Horn of Africa. And so she's told this wonderful story in verse. And there's another fascinating aspect of that book. It's published by a publisher that's owned by Amazon. And we're starting to struggle with that. So the thing about the book industry is there's this incredible change happening, and we're all learning to dance with the change. Some of us are doing it grudgingly. Some of us are embracing it. But
or both at the same time.
Absolutely. Maybe in the same day or the same hour or the same minute.
Yeah.
The thing is it's just a really exciting time in the intellectual property industries, whether it's music or books. Things are just breaking apart, and they're coming back together in really strange ways.
All right. Well, we'll start taking your calls after a short break, and I have a lot more books I want to ask both of you about, from biographies to new authors to some longtime favorites. Our number for you to join us with your questions or comments is 1-800-892-6477, and we'll be right back.
Good morning. It's 9:19, and more of our annual summer book show on the Exchange on NHPR and at 10 on the Diane Rehm Show. It's the Friday News Roundup. New Hampshire weather today, partly sunny and warm, with some afternoon showers and thunderstorms possible. Some could produce locally heavy downpours and gusty winds. Highs from 85 degrees from the White Mountains north, ranging to around 95 degrees along the Massachusetts border. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms ending by morning. Some could be severe. Lows near 60 degrees in the North Country, ranging to 70 degrees in southern parts of the state. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from School Spring, an online employment source connecting 21st century educators with New Hampshire schools. Information at schoolspring.com. And the Brattleboro Retreat, providing treatment programs for young people ages 5 to 12 in their fully renovated Children's Inpatient Psychiatric Center. Information at BrattleboroRetreat.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, books for summer reading. You can join us with your new favorites or questions about finding that perfect book. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Or send us a short email. TheExchange@NHPR.org is the address. You can also join us on our Facebook page as well. Our booksellers are Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter, and gentlemen, let's go to our listeners now, and Bob is waiting in Nottingham. Hi, Bob. You're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. I have one of our grandchildren, a 13-year-old boy, very much into sports and video games, of course. And I asked him over the weekend but he doesn't read, has no interest in reading. I said, if I could find you a book an exciting book that included basketball, would you at least give me a chance and try to read it? And he said, okay. So that's where I'm at, and I don't know who to ask, and I don't know really what I'm asking for. But
no, Bob, you're being very clear, and I really appreciate you asking the question, and I appreciate that you're continuing to try with your grandson. Good for you. Dan, kids' books, but especially boys' books.
Well, to answer that gentleman's question, I'd start with the Mike Lupica books. He has both baseball, basketball, football, sort of, but they're cut above sort of chock-a-block genre stuff. So he's a great writer. He's written for adults as well as for young adults and middle graders.
How do you spell Lupica?
L-U-P-I-C-A.
Okay.
So that's my specific recommendation for the caller. You know, there's some great books for boys out there. Part of the reason why independent booksellers do so well with middle grade and young adult books is that, like the caller, people are looking for very specific things to match up with their children's and teens' tastes, and that's what we do well. We really work hard to know the books and match them up to individual people. A young adult book for that same age that we're really pushing is a book called The False Prince by Jennifer A. Nielsen. And it's this awesome fantasy novel that has a twist. It's about this guy named Connor, and it's set sort of like most fantasy novels. It's sort of the past, but he's scooping up four orphans and training them to be the new false prince because the old prince died and no one knows it. So the four boys are being trained, but only one boy is going to be the prince, and the others, to keep the secret safe, are going to have to be killed off.
Okay, that's dreadful. I don't think I'd want to read that.
It is, but it's a,
not
you know,
for you, Lars, for 13-year-old boys.
Okay, well, very good.
See Grimm's fairy tales. I mean, this kind of stuff happens all the time in the fairy tales. So it's the beginning of a new epic series, and our bookseller, Heather Robichaux, who's our children's bookseller, is loving this book. I think Stephanie Kuiper, our store manager, read it as well. She may have found it and passed it on to Heather. But that's a great book for a younger young adult, you know, sort of the 10 to 14 age mm-hmm. range.
Well, and Michael, I got to say, you know, I went through all the book lists and so forth yesterday, and a lot of the books on the lists for summer young adult readers seem very girl-oriented. I came across one list of 15 top summer young adult reads, and there was not one book on there that sounded anything like something, you know, my boys would read. So what's going on there? Well, are publishers just ignoring boys?
They're not ignoring them. They're sort of just desperately looking for solutions because it is tough. It's been a perennial problem in bookstores to find good books for boys. I can certainly endorse Mike Lupica, as Dan did. Lupica's a great writer. Actually, I read his football book, and it brought a tear to my eye. I had to confess on the air. Yeah, Lupica's great. Another good book for boys about sports is Summerland by Michael Chabon. And that's, you know, it combines sort of, it's a baseball fantasy book, and that's a good one. But yeah, it is a tough problem. It's a perennial problem in bookselling to find the right books for boys. John Cheska has written a series of books that includes stories. Guys reads for guys that read or something
I've
like that.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bob, good luck with your grandson. 1-800-892-6477 is our number here in the exchange. 1-800-892-NHPR. It's our annual summer book show, and we want to hear from you. What are your favorite new books that you're diving into this summer? Or are you looking for a book to take on vacation? If you give us your interests, our panel of booksellers might be able to recommend an author or a book suited to you. Have you read something new that you want to share with our listeners? Or do you want to know more about a book that maybe you heard about that's getting a lot of attention? Our number is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Michael, before we go back to our listeners, we were talking about local authors just before the break. And I wanted to hear from you on that as well.
Sure. Well, speaking of baseball, Ernie Hebert from Keene has a new novel called Never Back Down, which is from David Argo Dean, who's a New Hampshire publisher, operates out of Jaffrey. It's a book about baseball in 1953. A very promising rookie comes up, and he's hitting home run after home run, batting almost .500. But then in the middle of the season, he gets, a veteran pitcher who's on the ropes on his way out with a lot of personal problems just beans him and ends his career. And so then the story moves from 1973 to the present day when that pitcher's son is trying to find some closure for his dad and for his family and tries to bring those two back together.
Wow, that sounds great. Who's that by again?
That's Ernie
Hebert.
That's
Ernie Hebert. That's what I thought you said.
Yep. Good old New Hampshire author.
Right. Dan, anybody else on the local level that you want to recommend?
Well, we were just talking about self-publishing, and we actually have a book that just came in. It's a children's picture book. It's by Jennifer Batanis. It's called A Moment in Time. It's completely conceived, written, and published by this one woman. It is the best example of a self-published book that I've seen in a while. And it's this great story of this family that's hanging out on a porch. This is a picture book for children now. And each of the four members of the family, two brothers, a mother, and a father, they're kind of each in their own zone together on this porch hanging out, and it's a beautiful moment in time. And it's just got some great lessons for younger children on up through early grade school. The illustrations are gorgeous, and the quality of the book is just extremely high. So as Michael was saying, self-publishing is a challenge because there's no gatekeeper, there's no quality control. This woman was her own quality control, and she's done a beautiful self-published book.
Well, yeah. And if you want a good laugh this summer, one of our favorite humorists, Rebecca Rule, has a new book, Poking Fun at Town Meeting, right,
oh,
Michael?
Moved and seconded, right? Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Becky is, she's a great writer, a great humorist, real crackerjack humorist in the old New England style, and a great writer. You know, I can't say enough about Becky, and when it comes time for town meeting or getting a dump sticker or whatever, you know, she's the go-to writer for all that.
Let's go back to our listeners, gentlemen. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Jim in Concord is up next. Hi, Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine.
I've two books I'd like to recommend by Don Winslow. The first is The Savages, and a prequel that just came out this week, and I'm not disappointed in them halfway through, is The Kings of Cool. If you want an edge-of-your-seat thriller to keep you up at night, that's it.
The Kings of what, Jim? Say it again.
The Kings of Cool.
Cool. Okay, great.
And it's a prequel to The Savages.
Okay, thank you very much for calling in, Jim. Thoughts, gentlemen? Dan?
I actually just went back. I saw the trailer for Savages. It's coming out as an Oliver Stone movie, and it reminded me that I meant to read that book. I know.
Hey, you can't read everything.
We're soaked in a media bath. I read Savages over the weekend, and I have to agree with the caller. It's a great book. It clips along very quickly. It's very concise, but it's a great sort of thrilling story about the drug wars in Southern California and Mexico. I haven't read the new one, but you know what? Thank you for the recommendation. I'm going to read it.
Yeah, and Jim, thanks for calling. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org, or you can join the conversation on our Facebook page. And Michael, Jessica gave us this Facebook comment. She says, I keep hearing about A Beautiful Ruin, so I'm going to give it a try. Have you heard of A Beautiful Ruin?
I have heard of it. I haven't caught up with it yet.
Mm-hmm. Is it for sale at your store or not yet?
Yeah,
no.
I think it's I believe so.
Okay. Jessica, yeah. Lots of books out there. I'm sorry we couldn't tell you about that one, but definitely give it a try. You can join us by phone if you'd like, 1-800-892-6477, or on Facebook, or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. And you know, gentlemen, for some people, just summer's a great time to catch up with old favorite authors. You mentioned Ernie Hebert earlier, definitely a favorite New Hampshire author. What are some other just stalwarts that you can always count on, Michael, that have new offerings this summer?
Well, that are new offerings from established authors? Well, you know, you have the John Irving. The John Irving, it's great. It's not necessarily the kind of novel that you expect from Irving. Because,
really?
Well, you know, Irving, you always think of him as a man's man, a wrestler and all that. And it's, you know, part of the one aspect of his work is it defines masculinity in a way. It defines what it is to be a man. And here he's going back to his familiar settings, prep school and wrestling team and all that, but also unfamiliar settings, New York City and Italy, and unfamiliar characters for Irving. His narrator is a bisexual man, and includes a cross-dressing grandpa. There's a school librarian whose hands are somehow look a little too large. It's not what you expect from him, but also at the same time, it's kind of a quintessential Irving novel. And I had a couple of problems with it, but all in all, I was so glad I read it. It's a very good, very good novel.
Well, and it's one of the three that you and Dan share on your list this year. Again, the lists are at nhpr.org. Dan, do you want to comment on this John Irving book as well?
Not the John Irving book. It's selling very well in our store, and Jean-Paul has read it. What I wanted to do, you were talking about stalwarts and kind of classics and throwback. There's a great book by a woman named Madeline Miller. It just won the Orange Prize, which is the top prize for women who write in English, so worldwide. And it's called The Song of Achilles. It's by Madeline Miller. And she's basically telling the backstory to the Iliad by focusing on the relationship between Achilles, who is kind of the star of the Iliad, and his dear companion and intimate friend Patroclus. And she really focuses on the deep love and friendship that these two men have for each other and how they're sort of pulled into the backdraft of the Trojan War. And yet it's the quality of their relationship, which is the focus of the book, not the Trojan War. So we're getting the backstory, which is always wonderful. This is an amazing, passionate, such a beautifully written book. If you have any interest at all in the classics, this is a great book to pick up.
Yeah, I read it too, and I really did enjoy it a lot. I mean, an alternate title, of course, would be The Song of Patroclus, because that's really what it's about. And, you know, you can find anything in Homer. You can find, books. You can find themes of gay love. You can find themes, military history. There's science fiction in it. It's everything is in Homer. I encourage people to go back to the classics, but also to read this book. It's a really vivid reimagining of that classic story.
Let's take another call, gentlemen. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Join us on our summer book show, 1-800-892-6477. And to David in Dover next. Hi, David. You're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to actually talk about a local New Hampshire author, Christopher Kellen. He started publishing about last year, and since then he's got two novels, both high fantasy, and two short stories all set in the same universe. And I got to tell you, the first book was kind of, it was the first book, but ever since then, he's just gotten better and better, and it's a really fantastic read. It's high fantasy with like a post-apocalyptic kind of tone to it. It's really excellent, but it's only available on Amazon as a digital download, so.
I see. Yeah, and this gets back to what you were saying, Dan, about the world is changing all the time.
Yeah, I mean, the dance of intellectual property through all the new pipelines, it's fascinating. You know, this book at some point may be picked up by a publisher and break out similar to 50 Shades of Grey, or it may just live digitally. It's just so hard to tell.
Well, and he mentioned something else that I wanted to ask both of you about, high fantasy, dystopian, after the Hunger Games, Michael, it seems like there's a hunger, pardon the pun,
we'll forgive you for
that. Yeah, thank you. For more of this sort of dystopian.
Yeah, well, certainly the parents come into the stores and my kids just read The Hunger Games. What can they read next?
Right.
And one book we point them to, a new series by Veronica Roth, the Divergent series. The first one's called Divergent. It's out in paperback now. And Insurgent, the second volume, just came out in hardcover. And it's a dystopian story told in the future. In this one, there's a 16-year-old girl named Beatrice Pryor who has to choose among five predetermined factions to define her identity for the rest of her life.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating.
The factions are candor, abnegation, which is like denial of self, being selfless, dauntless, which is bravery, erudite, which is, the pursuit of knowledge. So you have to pick one of these five. But she realizes that she's sort of an anomaly. She has elements of all of these. She doesn't want to define herself. And then she realizes that society isn't perfect, which I guess is the revelation that draws a lot of young readers to these kinds of books. So her choice leads her to an intense competition with endurance and psychological simulations and just things that remind you of the Hunger Games. So,
But different as well.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely its own book. It's not a knockoff at all. It's definitely its own series. So that's Divergent by Veronica Roth.
All right, great. Thank you for that. And thanks for that call. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, I was just going to say, this really is the Divergent and Insurgent series are really, it's replacing the Hunger Games as the hot series that all the young adults are reading.
People are still reading The Hunger. Did you see the picture in the paper? LeBron James just read The Hunger Games. It was in USA Today.
A lot of adults have read or are reading
these things
Hunger
are
Games.
Great
Good
crossovers.
Crossover, right.
Sure.
Way to go, LeBron.
Yeah.
Winning an NBA championship and reading The Hunger Games. I'm so proud.
That's right.
Three YA novels really quick that we're
YA
pushing.
Young adult.
Young adult, thank you. Serafina by Rachel Hartman, Monument 14 by Emily Laybourne, and Cinder by Marissa Meyer. Cinder is especially interesting. It's about a young woman who's a cyborg. She's half human, half robot, half machine. And it's just a great story set in the future, dystopian. But check out Cinder by Marissa Meyer.
A lot of kids feel like cyborgs, I guess.
Well, here's an email that I got from Chris in Concord. She says, I am knee-deep reading The President's Club by Nancy Gibbs and Michael Duffy about the interaction between modern-day former presidents with sitting and future presidents. It has changed my opinion of Hoover and Truman, but the interaction between LBJ and Nixon alone is worth the read. Fascinating and enthralling that I highly recommend. Chris, thank you so much. And Dan Chartrand, we were talking just before the show. You love this book as well. It's on your list.
I do. It's on my best summer reads for nonfiction. The President's Club by Nancy Gibbs and Michael Duffy is what I like to call it is the Vanity Fair version of history. It's this great saucy read. I'm going to leave you with one tidbit. I'm going to set the hook by saying You find out in this book that Bill Clinton is called the brother from another mother by the Bush clan. Say no more.
Where else would you learn that?
That's exactly right. You need to read this book. It's great, kind of fresh history. It's not dry. It's not boring. It's really, and it's about these intimate connections that form between the past presidents and the current president, and then that president becomes a past president, and they connect with the new one. There's this strange kind of, it's almost like a third political party, people that have sat in the Oval Office.
Well, and as people live longer, there'll be more of those past presidents. Michael?
Well, yeah, I think that, it's not an accident that that the elder Bush and Bill Clinton have become friends and allies on a variety of fronts. I mean, these are two people that understand each other more than anybody else would. And I'm sure Barack Obama calls W more often than the press would know about. I just think these guys have more in common than anybody else, and they must reach out to each other constantly.
Other great nonfiction that's on your list, Michael?
Well, speaking of Obama, there's a new biography by David Moranis, who also profiled Bill Clinton, called Barack Obama, The Story. And it is a true biography of Obama that's just come out. And that I think, is going to be a great summer read.
Yeah, there's other nonfiction, too, that you've been recommending, Michael. Music biographies.
Sure. Well, before I just want to give a shout-out to the new Cronkite biography, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is, a great cultural biography. It's sort of like viewing the times through the filter of one charismatic person. And Cronkite, it was everybody's favorite uncle back in the day. And he was the guy who would tell you the truth.
Right. I remember when he said good night. I thought he was talking to me.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
All right. And that's on Michael's list. Michael and Dan's favorites for summer 2012 are on our website, nhpr.org. You can find them on our Facebook page as well. We'll take more of your calls and emails after a short break. So stay with us.
Ginger Lever is with UNH Manchester, an NHPR underwriter.
Supporting NHPR is very effective for any kind of organization that wants to connect with an audience, because people listen. If you go into restaurants or walking by people's cars in the parking lot, you can hear it. And that's a measure and a testimony to the fact that people are listening.
For more information about becoming an NHPR underwriter, visit the business support page on nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Clark Mortensen, provider of specialized insurance and compliance support for inns and restaurants. Information at clarkmortensen.com. And Vineyard Brands, importers of Mann wines from the coastal vineyards of South Africa. Mann Vintners proudly supports the Susan B. Komen Race for the Cure. mannvintners.co.za. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, it's our annual Summer Book Show, where we look at some of the hottest reads for the hottest days of the year. Our guests' recommendations are posted on our website, nhpr.org. You can call in now, too, to get some of their favorites for this summer, 1-800-892-6477, or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Tell us about some of the new books out there that you're digging into already this summer, or if you're looking for a book to take on your summer break. Give us an idea of what you like, and our booksellers may be able to recommend a book suited to you. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And let's go to Catherine, calling in from Ashby, Massachusetts. Hi, Catherine. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm so glad that you're having this show with independent booksellers that we can really get the scoop from. I miss reading really good mysteries like Tony Hillerman and Dick Francis, not the blood, guts, and gore kind of stuff that, you see so many places. And I wondered if they had any suggestions of really good mystery writers.
Catherine, that's great. Thanks a lot for calling in. Michael?
Well, we already talked about Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn. That's a great mystery that's just come out. And the mystery is, did he do it or didn't he? And it's you don't know right until the end. Another one that's coming out in just a few weeks is by Tana French. It's called Broken Harbor. It's the fourth of her series about the Dublin murder squad. And you can read them independently. You don't have to read them in order at all. But they're all related. It's about something strange that happens in what's called a ghost estate outside of Dublin. It's like one of those half-finished developments because the developer ran out of money. And there's people living there, and their lives are kind of desperate and weird. And there's a murder. The mother's on her way to intensive care. Father's dead. Nobody really knows what's happened. And it's at first it seems like a no-brainer. Well, we know what happened here. But then just mysterious elements crop up, holes in the walls, hidden cameras. It's very strange.
Give us
very
the name strange. Again so that Catherine
Arcola
gets
it. It's called Broken Harbor. It's coming out, I think, third week of July by Tana French. And you can look at the galley that I've got right here, the advanced reader's copy. You can see it's already been broken in by like four or five different booksellers.
To pass right. along.
Yeah, that's right.
Catherine, thanks a lot for calling in. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. And, you know, another summer trend that I think of, Dan Chartrand, when it comes to that sort of lazier time when you actually do have time to kick back and read, is memoirs. Are there any good memoirs to chew on this summer?
There's one memoir that was on both Michael's and my list. And it's a book by a woman named Cheryl Strayed. It's called Wild, From Lost to Found on the Pacific Crest Trail. She lost her mother. Her family kind of flew apart. Her brothers and sisters aren't really in touch with her. Her stepfather's gone. She's estranged from her father. She divorces her husband. This happens in the mid-90s. She's in her 20s, and she finds herself totally bereft and decides to hike the Pacific Crest Trail, which is the trail that – it's kind of the western version of the Appalachian Trail. So it runs through the Sierra Nevadas and the Cascades, and it goes from the Mexican border to the Canadian border. And she decides she's going to find herself on this trail. This is such a gorgeous memoir. It's hard to describe. The overarching theme of the book is that she's hiking alone in the wilderness, a woman, and she's just focused on the idea that every step she takes is going to give her courage to face the remainder of her life, the rest of her life, and how she's going to find her way. I was very moved by this book. It's very well done. It's been selling very well. It's not a little gem that's kind of hidden away.
No.
Knopf published it in grand style. They loved it as well. Oprah has chosen it as the book to reboot her book club, which is now the 2.0 book club. So I can't recommend this book enough. It's got this wonderful photo of a hiking boot on the cover.
There's a reason for that. I mean, she's not an expert hiker. This is not somebody who knows how to hike, who goes off to hike to find herself. This is somebody who doesn't really know what she's doing. The boots don't fit. She actually loses one at one point.
Her feet get all messed up.
Yeah, oh,
I mean,
yeah.
She has all kinds of problems.
Yeah, she's got all kinds of problems that she's working through. And in a way, this is kind of the same territory that Bill Bryson covered, A Walk in the Woods. But when Bryson, discovered his own incompetence, he treated it with humor. Here, it's not so much funny. It really is, as Dan says, a moving memoir about somebody who's really hit rock bottom and needs to figure out her life. And it's very, very open and honest.
Well, at one point I read she comes out of the woods and she looks so awful that there's a local hobo club and they come and ask her to join the hobo club because they just assume she's one of them. So
there's some very funny moments in it. There's some very poignant moments in it. It's a book that I can't recommend highly enough. Another interesting aspect of this, Cheryl's kind of a member of a loose collective of authors called Grub Street. It's kind of an online collective. So there's another example of what we were talking about earlier, where you have authors connecting and supporting each other through the social media and the web. The book business is just in this amazing kind of time of flux that's really creative. And Cheryl is another example of someone who's coming out of that.
Let's take another call. And Clint is up from Portsmouth. Hi, Clint. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had two suggestions. One's a book that came out a few years ago, and one just came out this year. Lamb by Christopher Moore. It's the full title is Lamb, the Gospel. The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Friend. You laugh. It sounds like you've read it before.
So what was the new one that you wanted to talk about, though, Clint?
The other one is called Patriot by David Frum.
Great.
And it's a fictionalization of an outsider going into Washington after his wealthy grandmother sends him there so he can kind of learn the ins and outs before he takes over the family business.
Wow, okay. Clint, thanks for calling in. And Patriot by David Frum, I've heard some buzz on this,
well,
too.
Frum is, he's sort of like the conservative that, liberals can talk to. He doesn't march in lockstep.
He was one of W's speechwriters.
Right. That's right. And he's since gone off into his own mode of thinking since then. And so I haven't read it. I'm looking forward to it, though.
But you've got it at the store.
Yeah.
The Christopher Moore book is a great classic. It's a very funny book. It's very irreverent. Several of our booksellers have read it, and I've been listening to them hand sell this book for several years now, and they have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, Christopher Moore also wrote a book called Fool, which is the story of King Lear told from the perspective of the fool, which is also wildly funny. And I think the part of the point here is that, it doesn't have to be a new book that you read this summer. You know, if you haven't read it, it's new to you. You know, so if you haven't read Unbroken, get to it. It's a great summer read. If you haven't read the Stephen King, 11/22/63, that could take you for like half the summer, but it's a really good read too.
And if you haven't read To Kill a Mockingbird, get on it.
Well, that's right.
Our phone number again here on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. You can send us an email too if you'd like. Tell us about some of the new books that you're looking forward to diving into this summer, or if you need some advice on a new book to take on vacation. You can join us with an email, exchange@nhpr.org, or with a phone call, 1-800-892-6477. The Exchange is now also on Facebook, so we hope you go to our page, join the conversation there. You know, a little bit earlier, Michael Herman, we were just starting to talk about a different type of biography that seems to be hot this summer, and that's music biographies.
Yeah, for some reason. Sometimes it just gets into the zeitgeist or something. It's just something in the water, but all of a sudden everybody's publishing different books on the same kind of theme. This summer we've got books about Bob Dylan. We've got a new biography of Bruce Springsteen, which I think is the first biography of him that takes his career beyond the year 2000, right up to the current day. And it reads a little bit like an academic biography. It's a really serious treatment, but it's also full of the kind of tidbits that music lovers like. Jonathan Lethem has written about his encounter when he was a teenager of the Talking Heads album Fear of Music, which when he was a young kid, he wanted to wear on his head in lieu of explaining who he was to people. He just wanted to walk around with it. So it's about an almost obsessive encounter with one album. Patti Smith has written her memoirs, and New Directions has just republished an expanded version of Wool Gathering, which came out in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And then finally, a book I'm really looking forward to is coming out in October. Neil Young has written a memoir called Waging Heavy Peace, which I can't wait to get my hands on.
Well, that's kind of interesting. And, we've talked about so many trends over the years. But this is something, Dan, that we haven't really seen before, a slew of musical biographies.
Well,
And memoirs.
Everything's cyclical, right? So Patti Smith and Keith Richards have successes with their books 18 months ago. 18 months is about 18 to 24 months
that's,
is about the gestation
the
for an intellectual
right.
piece of intellectual property. So now we've got these great books coming out. The Greg Allman book is really.
Oh, I forgot to mention that.
Yeah,
this
that's
one
on,
was
your
on
list.
My list. I know.
Yeah, but that's, yeah. That's really a very unique story. Talk about someone that was kind of there, Greg Allman, in the 70s, early 70s.
The thing about Greg Allman is he lived through some of the most interesting stories of rock and roll, and he doesn't remember them all that well because he was not sober at the time. So he talks about that, and it's but it's not just a I'm in recovery now kind of memoir. It's really very engaging and fun to read.
Wow. All right. Well, our number for you to join us with your questions, suggestions on new books for summer 2012, not necessarily pulling up some of the older ones, but new books that you've heard about or want to dive into, is 1-800-892-6477. And gentlemen, let's go next to Dover. Karen's on the air. Hi, Karen. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just looking for some good suggestions on sci-fi. You don't hear about it too much, and people don't talk about it much, but, Ben Bover, anything new or anything old? Just any good suggestions?
Yeah, Karen, thanks a lot. And I shouldn't admit this on the air, maybe, but I love science fiction.
Yeah.
So
I basically spent my college years reading science fiction, not doing my coursework. So
yeah, right.
There you go.
What do you got, Dan?
There's my true confession. This isn't straight sci-fi, but it's a great new book by Karen Thompson Walker. It's called The Age of Miracles, a novel. It releases this coming Tuesday. And it's this great story about a young woman who lives in a California suburb, and the rotation of the earth is slowing. And society is kind of, her family.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it is kind of creepy, and they don't really know why. Society and her family is kind of falling apart, in front of her eyes as the rotation of the Earth slows. Some people decide to stay on clock time. Some people decide to go with the longer day as the rotation slows. But it's this incredibly intimate sort of young, coming-of-age story at the same time. So it's beautifully written. Several of our booksellers have read it. It's called The Age of Miracles by Karen Thompson Walker. It's appropriate for older young adult, but it's an adult book. It's being published as an adult book, but it skews kind of older young adult as well. Great book.
Science fiction, Michael.
Well, one that's it's either just about to come out or it's coming or it's already just out. It's called The Last Policeman. And it's set, speaking of asteroids, which I don't think we were, but anyway, an asteroid is streaking towards the Earth and about to obliterate civilization as we know it. And this story is set in Concord, New Hampshire.
Really?
Yeah, it's called The Last Policeman. And there's a what looks like a suicide. This guy thinks it's a murder. His colleagues are saying, why are you even bothering? Everybody's killing themselves because of the asteroid. And, you know, what does it matter if it was murder or not? But he just wants to solve the case. And so it's a part of a trilogy that's just coming out. I thought it was a fun read. It's always fun to read about your hometown.
Right.
If you want a good recommendation for science fiction, too, we were mentioning the Iliad earlier. A great retelling of Homer from a science fiction standpoint is Dan Simmons' series that includes Ilium and Olympos, which is wonderful science fiction.
Well, and I went through a couple science fiction lists yesterday, too, Karen, and one that kept jumping up for me on those lists is called 2312 by Kim Robinson, part of the Mars trilogy, which is about what happens to humankind after we colonize the solar system. So that kept jumping up on all the science fiction lists. So there you go. Thanks for calling in, Karen. And gentlemen, you know, on past programs, we've talked about foodie books, not necessarily cookbooks, but, you know, books about food, like 52 Loaves of Bread. That was the bread book that was so popular a couple years ago. Any foodie books this summer, Dan, even though with the heat wave lately, it's been hard to get up any enthusiasm for cooking?
Well, publishers are very focused in on foodie books, but I'm going to take that in a slightly different angle and talk about this great book by an author from Kittery, Maine, which is really kind of part of Portsmouth. It's Continuous Container Gardens, Swapping the Plants of the Season to Create Fresh Designs Year-Round. Roanne Robbins is one of two authors on this book, and she's the one from Kittery. It's this great book. She basically sees the container garden as not just for people that have cramped space, but it's this way of creating a world within a world. And she's done this beautiful book published by Story Press that has all these great ideas for designs for container gardens. And we love this book. And we're selling it. And it's kind of feeding into people's creativity as well as their gardening impulse.
Well, lots of people in this area love gardening, so no shortage of interest in that. And, you know, gentlemen, as I said, both of your lists are on our website, nhpr.org. But before we close out, Michael, is there one particular book that you really want to make sure we know about before we leave?
Other than the ones we already mentioned?
Other than the many others we've already mentioned, yes.
Yeah, well, there's a new James Joyce biography, if you like intellectual history. The Joyce estate, including certainly Joyce's grandson, has jealously controlled access, but now a lot of materials are coming into the public domain just this year, so it's possible to publish a new biography of James Joyce, who every writer, I think, needs to engage with and struggle against if they want to be known as a good writer. On a completely different tack, Let's Pretend This Never Happened by Jenny Lawson. She's a very funny, very famous blogger called The Bloggess online. And it's to me, it's the funniest book of the season.
Really?
Yeah. She's
Is
expanded,
it a novel? Or?
No. She's taken her blog posts and sort of expanded them to become kind of a quasi-memoir of sorts about the story of a woman who really has no impulse control, but she has a real gift for language and comedy.
it's
no impulse control and a computer sometimes can be problematic.
Well,
you hit the send button and then...
That's right. And she says things that she shouldn't say and then she records them on her blog.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
It's very funny. Two books that I have. We haven't really talked about any great history reads for the summer. A book by Walter Borneman called The Admirals, Nimitz, Halsey, Leahy, and King. The five-star admirals who won the war at sea. I've read this book. It's wonderful.
Yeah, only four men in history have had that rank of five-star admirals. So,
it's true.
Big deal.
They won World War II, both in the Atlantic and the Pacific. And a fiction book that we love, and it's selling like crazy in our store. It started in Germany as a bookseller hand-selling favorite. Was translated finally, published by Other Press. The Art of Hearing Heartbeats. It's a novel by Jean-Philippe Sendker. And it's just a wonderful sort of heartfelt book about two people who are doomed for life but find happiness together. And it's just a great summer read. Very uplifting.
Laura, I hear the music. Before we break off, I just want to give a shout-out to Chris Bajalian, whose Sandcastle Girls is coming out July 17th. Chris calls it his most important book ever.
Really?
It's a novel about the Armenian genocide.
He's written a lot of books, a beloved Vermont author.
That's right.
All right. Well, both of you, this has been really fun. Again, thanks for putting the lists on the website, nhpr.org. And Michael Herman, good to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Laura.
Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, Dan Chartrand, always good to see you. Thank you.
It's such a pleasure, Laura. Thanks.
Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Alan Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Samantha Johnson. The Exchange theme music was composed by Bob Lord. Our show is now on Facebook. Become a fan of our Facebook page. You can learn more about upcoming shows, get extra links and material, and as I said, our booksellers lists will be there too. Our executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoi.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
Next week on The Exchange, we bring you some of our very favorite past programs. We begin with a new definition of poverty and why it's creating some political waves. Later, Dartmouth Dr. Ira Byock talks about end-of-life care and his book, The Best Care Possible. And we finish the week with an environmental author on how much of what you thought you knew about protecting the planet is wrong. Join us all next week for The Exchange, each morning at 9 and again at 8 p.m. here on NHPR.
The Diane Rehm Show, next at 10 o'clock on NHPR, where support comes from UR members and from Alliance Audiology, Eliza Evans, Ike Valdez, and Nicole Betancourt. Hearing professionals proud to welcome audiologist Libby Young to the staff, AllianceAudiologyLLC.com. And Courier Museum Arts Center, offering week-long summer vacation art camps in Manchester for children and teens. Information at courier.org.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO Concord, 89.1.
WEVS Nashua, 88.3.
WEVH Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN Keene, 90.7.
WEVC Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF Colebrook, 90.